Still But a Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Fireball Hot Take Friday. So we just had a doozy of a discussion with Keyshawn Johnson.
It was a fun one.
So here's what I want. I'll give my reaction in just a second. But I've already looked through the text line. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I've already looked through the text line.
Oh, they're mad at Keyshawn.
But, like, here's the one thing I want people to understand. When you say that, like, you know, they're mad at Keyshawn. If somebody from ESPN, you've worked at ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody from ESPN were to hear, they're mad at Keyshawn, they would think, oh, he had a take against the local team and that's why they didn't like it.
I don't think that's why they're mad at Keyshawn.
I just wanted to know if Keyshawn actually knew what he was talking about. Now, he started the interview off with the, hey, I have played the game. I am a, you know, I am a neutral football analyst. That's how he started the interview.
Mm-hmm.
And he might be, I don't know. And then when he brought up Dane Cruikshank versus Ja'Marr Chase, that was when I was like, okay. Well, what was crazy was he was like, who do you think is the better quarterback then between Tannehill or Garoppolo? And I was like, I think it's Tannehill because mm-hmm. I think Garoppolo stinks. And he's like, well, yeah, but Garoppolo wins. I'm like, Tannehill's the number one seed. like Tannehill's the quarterback of the number one seed.
And what did I say before he came on? I was like, well, everyone says he's a good quarterback
because they got him to the Super Bowl.
And that's exactly what he said.
Exactly that. Oh, goodness. Then he was talking about, I asked him, I thought it was a fair question. Because the real thing was, like, I'm not trying to have Keyshawn, like, I'm not trying to basically have one of these things where we yell at each other and then he hangs up and it ends up on awful announcing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not, whatever. You know, I could have done that. I thought about doing that. I decided not to do that. No skin off my rear end. At least he was a good sport.
Yeah.
You know.
He's laughing at himself.
But, like,
when he couldn't remember his friend's name.
I think he knows we think that it's all bullcrap, right? Like, he knows that when we're like, do you watch Titans? I watch every game. Do you realize every game in the NFL is 3 hours? Like, it is a 3-hour. Mm-hmm. YouTube has games where they cut the commercials out, and it's like 2 hours and 20 minutes. And so, like, every game's 3 hours. To watch every game when 16 teams play in a week is 48 hours. After hearing Dane Cruikshank and Elijah Molden versus Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, do we really think Keyshawn spends 48 hours watching football games?
I'm not going to accuse him of what he does or doesn't do because he said that he does. But if I have to gun to my head $1 million on the line,
I will accuse. He clearly doesn't. I also thought the whole, like, you know, and then I watch every college game.
That's a lot, too.
So, like, one time, Ryan asked Floyd, and I'm sure I could tell this story. Ryan asked Floyd if he would do like a film breakdown of Mariota for the offseason review and Corey Davis or something like that. And Floyd looked at him and was like, you know how much I charge for that? And he was like, what? Floyd was like, $400 an hour.
Whoa.
You know why general managers get paid as much as they get paid? Because they really do watch every game. Like, because they need to know, like, hey, this outside linebacker might hit free agency. We need to know who he is. Not, I heard them talking about him on ESPN, so I think he might be okay. Like, they don't do that when you are making that kind of money. We know national commentators do not watch Titans that much. How much they watch him, I guess you get in arguments or whatever. I mean, but, like, I listen to this Keyshawn interview, and I'm, like, sitting there, and I'm trying not to laugh. Like, I'm honestly trying not to laugh, and I couldn't hold back when he was, like, he was talking about his good friend whose name he couldn't remember.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I usually forget the names of my friends.
Well, he knows a lot of people.
I you know, good friend.
And, you know, I don't doubt that he probably watches highlights from most games, if not every game, but I don't think anyone out there watches every single down of every single NFL and college game because there are plenty of producers and plenty of people in screening at ESPN whose jobs are to sit in this giant fishbowl and watch games all day, and they write up bullet points for the people that go on those shows. Now, do the people on those shows watch the games? I don't know, but I don't know if anyone watches every single down of every single game out there.
No, that well, the people that do it are the ones that are paid to, like the yes. you know, I mean, like that's they literally watch every second of every game because that's they literally do spend 48 hours and I mean, we've heard about the stories from Floyd about how much
and
time
that's their full-time job.
That and they're making millions of dollars.
Yes.
And a lot of that too is like cut up, so it's very quick, you know, play, uh-huh. play, whatever. I mean, I'm literally like, here's the thing that I'm reading the text line.
Yeah, the text line is popping.
But I think half the text line is mad that Keyshawn's picking against the Titans, which I don't care about. Mm-mm. I'm just like, if you're gonna come on the radio show, and I try to tell him like twice, like, look, this is not the local fanboy show. This is not, you know, when did you become a Titan fan? Call in. You know, that's not what we do. We were all over Tannehill when he was losing them games, turning the football over. We were all over Tannehill when he was winning games, turning the football over.
And we've picked against the Titans plenty of times. We've
picked
before.
Against the Titans plenty of times. So I tried to like explain that, like, hey, this is like the
is this a safe space?
This is like the honest show. But when I see the Titan fans that are fired up in the text line about what Keyshawn said, like about, oh well, Keyshawn doesn't know that they've got Jack Rabbit Jenkins and they. That is what I think they want. Like they at ESPN, Keyshawn, when he's like, bring me on anytime to get the fans riled up. What I want is like the acknowledgement that like he just says whatever he thinks. Just like when I thought Tannehill sucked when he was in Miami, like before he was with the Titans and they traded for him and people would call in and they're like, I think Tannehill should be the starter. And I was like, I think Tannehill sucks. But I didn't know. I didn't watch. But I could tell you, like, I didn't watch.
Right.
What I knew about the Bengals on Monday compared to what I know about the Bengals now, because I literally sat down and watched, like, totally different. And it's like, I just felt like Keyshawn was just kind of going in circles with, you know, like, well, why is Garoppolo ahead of Tannehill? Well, Garoppolo wins. Okay. Well, then why is Tannehill not ahead of the other quarterbacks if Tannehill's beaten all the other quarterbacks? Well, Matthew Stafford lights it up. So, you know, Matthew Stafford hasn't lit it up. But he has lit it up before. But when he lit it up, they were in Detroit. They weren't very good. No, he's lit it up with the Rams. Has he?
I mean, it's not been a bad season by any means. I mean, they're in the final eight. I'm not going to say he has lit it up, but I think he's been impressive.
I think, like, the whole point of that was just to, like, actually gauge, like, after all these Keyshawn clips, like, and God bless ESPN Radio. I know what they're doing. They're sending us Keyshawn clips so that we can have segments that are like, Keyshawn said this about the Titans, and then people get mad, just like the text line. Half the text line is getting mad about what Keyshawn said as opposed mm-hmm. to the fact that Keyshawn said some crazy stuff too. And I just want to know, does Keyshawn actually know what he's talking about? That's all I wanted to know. And you're trying to be nice about it. I'm not. I mean, like,
I know you're not going to be nice about it.
Clearly the answer is no.
Probably not. Probably not.
Dane Cruikshank.
Dane Cruikshank was bad. I heard that and I was like, what? Of all of the Titans defenders that you could name.
Dane Cruikshank?
And you asked, why Dane Cruikshank? Well, I know him from the Pac-12. You don't know him from watching Titans games?
Watched all of them.
Yeah, you watched every one.
Lorenzo is up next. Thank you for calling. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Go ahead, Lorenzo.
Hey, folks. Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, I've called the show many times and things, sure. And I love the show. Listen to it every day. I think more than anything, as far as it, like you say, the show not being a fanboy show, I do respect that. I do, because you do talk a lot real about the Titans. But I think more than anything, what I guess at times we have won big games, and that Monday, you know, listen to my car, you know, want to get some positivity because we don't hear a lot of ESPN, and I think a lot of times fans might be like, "Well, damn, we just won the game. Can you?" Spit out some positivity. I mean, I remember the Rams game we won. I know you talked real bad about Tannehill and just the Titans itself, you know, the things they didn't do well, and the fact that we are the one seed in the AFC at the end of the day. So there are going to be times we have issues, yes. But I think overall, sometimes the general sense is like, did we just lose? Did we actually just won? You know, I think that would be.
I hear you. And I appreciate your call. I think there were two games like that. I don't remember exactly the Rams game. I thought we were pretty positive after the Rams win. I mean, that was a...
There really wasn't much to be negative
there,
about.
Other than that really bad interception Tannehill threw. Other than that, I mean, I thought we were really... The two that we were hard on them after they won, the Colts the first time, which was really a precursor of a lot of the problems that they ended up having. And the second one was the Saints, where Jerome Boger just blew the game. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the definition of honesty, right? Like, Jerome Boger blew the game 2 years ago. Khalif Raymond gets hit in the head. And, you know, we're sitting there saying the Titans would have won if Jerome Boger didn't ruin the game. And then Ryan Tannehill throws an interception. It gets taken back because of a bullcrap roughing the passer call. And we said, like, they probably wouldn't have won the game if they hadn't taken that off the board and the Titans scored a touchdown because of it. I feel like that is as honest as it can get. But I do understand, hey, when the Titans win, we want to hear good. When the Titans lose, we want to hear bad. And I just kind of been analyzing it as, how are you going to do in the playoffs in the Super Bowl the whole time? Because if you play the way you played against the Saints, you're probably going to lose tomorrow. Play the way you played that first Colts game, you're probably going to lose tomorrow. Play the way you played against the Rams, on to Kansas City or Buffalo it is. On to Corey Curtis it is for us next. News 2, he joins us, Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving. It is a Fireball Hot Take Friday. I see your text into the text line. I'm not going to spend all day talking about Keyshawn Johnson.
I don't think that we should.
I'm just not going to. I mean, look, he said whatever he said. I think it's all bull crap. He clearly doesn't watch Titans. But you know what? I mean, a lot of people talk about things they don't know what they're talking about. Corey Curtis joins us now, News 2 on the program. So I think the Titans, I'm just going to say it right now, now that Derrick Henry's officially been activated, I think the Titans are going to win as long as they don't screw it up, Corey. But I've got years and years of little Jared Stillman Titan fandom kid who, you know, just remembers 2000 against the Ravens. And remembers Drew Bennett dropping the football in Foxborough. And remembers Robert Holcomb fumbling the ball in Oakland. And remembers Lindale White and Algie Crumpler fumbling against the Ravens. And I've been through all of that. I even remember last year Lamar Jackson breaking a run before halftime. The one thing that couldn't happen, happened. So we've all seen it with the Titans in the playoffs. How much do you believe that this Titan team is mentally prepared and focused to do what they have to do in order to win tomorrow?
Well, as you said, the best team doesn't always win. The one that takes care of the football usually wins. So that is absolutely going to be imperative. Look, I have a lot of confidence in this team. I have a lot of confidence in this game. I continue to go back to Mike Vrabel being 8-0 on long rest and not just winning, but outscoring his opponents by 150 points in those eight games. Nobody's better on long rest than Mike Vrabel is. I think that the team has good vibe. I think they have good energy. I think that they know the position that they're in, and I think that they'll be ready to play. Does that mean that I absolutely believe they won't turn the ball over three times and find a way to lose 23-21? No, it doesn't. But if I've got to push my chips on the table, I know where they're going.
Do you think if the Titans lose tomorrow that it is a disappointing season?
Absolutely. Absolutely, without question. Because you only get so many chances to host an AFC championship here, but to go to the Super Bowl. And, you know, this team battled through so much to get to this point, to still have home field despite all the injuries, and now to have everybody back and be healthy and ready to go for the two biggest games of the year to get you to the big one, it would be heartbreaking in my estimation to lose this game. You know, Kevin Byard, you know, he didn't, you know, cover it up at all. It would be a huge disappointment if they lost this game. I said it all season long when people talk about winning the AFC South. The AFC South is not the goal for this team. This game is not the goal for this team. So anything short of it, you know, look, if you don't get the AFC Championship and give yourself a chance to go to the big one, to me, it's a disappointing season because this team is capable.
So I'm of the belief that if Ryan Tannehill doesn't turn the football over tomorrow, the Titans are going to win the game. And I know that that's unfair to kind of circle one guy and say, hey, I think it's all on you just to not turn the ball over. But I also think it's the reality of the game tomorrow. Is it too much to ask a $29.5 million quarterback to not turn the football over?
No, it's not. No, it's not. I mean, look, like you said, he's a $25, $30 million quarterback. They need him to be that guy in this game. That means making good decisions. That means making accurate throws. And that, first and foremost, means taking care of the football. You know, a lot of times the job of the quarterback is not just to make plays. It's to minimize damage. That's why I've always said sometimes incomplete is a great play. And he has to be willing to accept incomplete instead of putting the ball in jeopardy. He has to be willing to accept sack sometimes instead of putting the ball in jeopardy. So I think that that is first and foremost. He can't lose the game for his team, that's for sure. And for that much money and for as much as we've seen of him and his capability, and by the way, he's got his guys back, all right? So we shouldn't have to question, are guys in the right place? Can he trust where guys are? All those questions should be off the table. He should be ready to hit the ground running and have a great game on Saturday.
We had Keyshawn Johnson on earlier, and I asked Keyshawn, you know, what he thought about this game, and Keyshawn gave me the lecture about being a, you know, a football analyst who played the game and, you know, knows the game and is unbiased, and then said that he was worried about the matchup of Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow versus Dane Cruikshank and Elijah Molden. And I pointed out that Cruikshank was a third stringer, and he said, but he knew him from the Pac-12 conference. And so Caroline and I were kind of laughing about kind of, you know, all of that or whatever. But I do wonder this. Do you think that things like that have gotten under the Titans' skin this week? The fact that everybody knows that the most people care about Buffalo, Kansas City, mm-hmm. Green Bay, Tom Brady, the Rams, and that, like, this game got the worst TV slot. And we remember Byard after the Sunday night football game talking about power rankings and how they were 7-2. Do you think that this has gotten under the Titans' skin, or do you think that they are so focused on the task at hand that none of this is getting to them?
You know, I hope it has, because what have we seen over and over again? When they're an underdog,
sure.
They play their best football. And so if they feel disrespected or feel like an underdog, then I hope it is. Listen, if I'm these guys and I'm 2 wins from the Super Bowl, that's all that I'm worried about. And I'll let my play speak for itself. And I think the other thing that prevents them maybe from focusing too much in on this is last year's game. I think last year's game is on a lot of these guys' mind. They're embarrassed by last year's game with Cincinnati. I think they feel like they've got something to prove from that front as well. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, we talk about this all the time, how, you know, it's obvious that a lot of guys in the national media don't watch the Titans. They make it obvious when they actually try to talk about them. So, you know, I don't know if you can be disrespected by people who actually don't know what they're talking about. I mean, they just don't. And look, I wasn't in on Keyshawn Johnson's conversation. I don't know. But when you say that, my eyes immediately rolled into the back of my head, and I just said, oh, my gosh, not again. I don't know if you saw Kyle Brandt this morning. He went.
No, but I don't. The rah-rah go team stuff, that doesn't do it for me.
No, I agree that it's over the top. But I think a Titans fan must have written it for him, because it was hitting all the points that we all talk about all the time. That, you know, they're not the team everybody wants to see for whatever reason. You know, this team averaged 30 points a game last year, and through all the injuries and everything, how many points a game do they average this season?
I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, it's mid-20s. It's still mid-20s. I mean, they're still scoring points, and they have stars now. They have A.J. Brown. They have Julio Jones. They have Derrick Henry. They have Kevin Byard. They have Jeffrey Simmons. These guys are star players. I don't understand what there isn't to like to watch. But evidently, you'd rather watch Matthew Stafford throw 19 pick sixes.
Corey Curtis, News 2 is our guest. Fireball Hot Take Friday. What is your hot take for the game tomorrow, Corey?
I think Julio Jones is going to have a big day. I do. I think the Bengals are going to be so focused on Henry and Brown that not only Julio, but I think Julio and Firkser should both have some opportunities to make play or two or three. I think Julio scores in back-to-back games, and I hate to say it, I like the Titans big. I do. I think the wave for them is going to be massive, and I don't know. I just think that it can be a lot for a team that hasn't been in the playoffs very much.
Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Corey, appreciate you. We'll talk soon.
All right, have a great show, dude. Thank you, man.
Yep, Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us on the program, as always. And it was funny that he brought up the hot take that he thinks Julio Jones is going to have a good game. I mean, we've been hard on, you know, Julio in terms of his lack of production. We didn't think they should make that trade. They made that trade. You know, I am kind of an I told you so kind of guy, and I've definitely been I told you so people. I did watch a lot of Bengals tape yesterday. I think there is a chance that Nick Westbrook-Ikhina or Julio Jones is going to have a big game. I think there is a legitimate chance, and I think they're going to stick Awuzie on A.J. Brown, and I think the other guys that they have in the secondary, whether it's Hilton or Apple, I don't think they're very good. I think their defense plays very hard. I think they have some good players, but I don't think their defense is very good. In fact, I watched a lot of Cincinnati. I got 10 takeaways. So I got 10 thoughts from watching three full games of Cincinnati yesterday. We'll get to those next. Stillman and Company, it's a Fireball Hot Take Friday on ESPN 102.5 The Game. There you go. That was Mike Vrabel talking about Chase and Burrow. And I've watched three Bengals games, and he's not wrong. So I watched last night, I watched the full San Francisco-Cincinnati overtime game. I watched the full San Diego-Cincinnati, Los Angeles-Chargers-Cincinnati game. And I watched the Chiefs-Bengals game, although I'd already watched it, so it was a lot easier just to kind of move forward, etc. But I watched three Bengals games, three straight up. Caroline, you can back me up because I was literally sending you videos of Jimmy Garoppolo's crappiness last night. Well, I know you were at the Preds game.
Yes.
I literally got home and sat down and watched Bengals football last night because I wanted to be able to tell you all just kind of that, hey, I watched it, now I know, so I got 10 observations. And again, not going to say Keyshawn doesn't watch all the football he says he watches, but I'm going to say it. This I actually watched. We start with the number one observation I had from watching the Bengals.
Number one.
Ja'Marr Chase is their game breaker. And I know you hear that and you think, well, duh. Of course Ja'Marr Chase is their game breaker. But what I mean by this is, in a lot of different instances, they're kind of dead in the water, and he just throws the ball to Ja'Marr Chase. So there was a fourth down trailing 20-6 against San Francisco. I think it was like fourth and 15. And Joe Burrow's in the shotgun, and he rolls out and just throws it into the back of the end zone for Ja'Marr Chase for a touchdown. And that's immediately what got the Bengals back in their game against San Francisco that ended up going to overtime. Against the Chiefs, they were down 14-0. They threw a slant to Ja'Marr Chase. He turned up, took it 72 yards for a touchdown. The Chargers, and I have a friend who's on the Chargers, and he told me one of their big keys was they never let Ja'Marr Chase make a big play. He can take them out of any deficit. So he's like a home run hitter. You know when you watch a baseball game and you see a score and you're like, wow, man, they're down three runs and things aren't. Ja'Marr Chase can catch the football and totally change the game. He's the game breaker on the team. The other guys are good. Higgins is good. He's a big body. Boyd's good. He's fast, slippery, good catching the football. Chase is the game breaker. That takes
number two.
They're going to miss Larry Ogunjobi. They're going to miss Ogunjobi. I can't tell you how many times I watched Cincinnati tape, and it was first play of the game against San Francisco. I mean, he's in the backfield on run plays. He's in the backfield on passing plays, getting big sacks, and he's also going after the ball in pursuit. And I'm not going to say, because everybody talks about Trey Hendrickson's sacks, and he's a great pass rusher, and Hubbard, the other pass rusher, is pretty good too. But Ogunjobi, I think, might be the straw that stirs that drink on the defensive line. They're really going to miss him in run support and when they try to blitz Tannehill or in obvious passing situations. He's a really good player. I'm not going to say he's their Jeffrey Simmons, but I think he's in between Simmons and Danico Autry in terms of how much he means to the Bengals and how much they're going to miss him.
Number three.
The ball comes out quick with Joe Burrow. If the Titans play zone or they play off the receivers, the ball's going to come out like that. That's how he wants to do it. Now, if nobody's open with that bad offensive line, Joe will start moving around trying to find something. It's very Aaron Rodgers-esque. But basically what this is it's like the Rams offense, take the snap, ball comes out like that with the movement of the quarterback. So it's a little bit better than the Rams offense, worse offensive line, better receivers, more mobile quarterback, and the quarterback's willing to take chances.
Number four.
Their defense plays hard, but they're not very good. especially in the secondary, but they're not a very good defense. Hendrickson gets a bunch of sacks. I really like Sam Hubbard, 94, the other defensive lineman other than Reeder, who's their run stopper, and Ogunjobi, who they're really going to miss. Like, those four guys are pretty good. Logan Wilson, the linebacker, did not play, was out against San Francisco. But other than that, it's just all a bunch of average NFL players. They play hard, and they try to strip the football from you, and they try to hit you hard, and they try, but they're not like a great defense. They're just, they're kind of average. I'd say it's kind of like the Colts without Darius Leonard. It's average. It's not bad. It's very average, but they play hard.
Number five,
Joe Mixon. He made the Pro Bowl this year. Everybody will tell you about his rushing and receiving stats. Joe Mixon is a role player on the Bengals. In the games I watched, there was never really like a conscious, hey, he's our running back. When you look at the stats and you look at what he's accomplished, you think it might be like Marshall Faulk. But it's really not. At least in the games I watched, the three I watched, it didn't feel like they were using Joe Mixon like that. They'll run the ball, but it wasn't like they were trying to run the ball. It wasn't like they had an elite rusher. It wasn't like they were targeting him out of the backfield. He's just kind of a role player. Chase, that guy's a star. Boyd, I think, is probably number two. They like to go to Higgins with the big body, but Mixon and Uzama the tight end, they're role players. But it's odd because Mixon made the Pro Bowl.
Number six.
Their secondary is a bunch of average dudes. And I think I might use average and like be kind of nice about it. Justin Herbert hit deep shots on him. Jimmy Garoppolo had wide open throws that he missed, which is par for the course with Jimmy. And Patrick Mahomes did whatever he wanted to. There was a play right before halftime where Kansas City, I believe, is up 21-7 or is up 14-7. And it's right before halftime. And Patrick Mahomes just throws the ball up in the air for Tyreek Hill. And Tyreek Hill goes up and it hits him in the shoulder pad. But there was not because of the defense. Hill just dropped the football. I mean, I look at these guys, and last year, Corey Davis, now not the same guys, but last year, Corey Davis had 128 receiving yards against these guys. This is not very good. So they're NFL players, but Hilton, Awuzie, Eli Apple stinks, Von Bell, like Von Bell wants to strip the football, wants to hit you. Jesse Bates, the safety, wants to hit you, but he ain't a ball hawk like Kevin Byard. And I just think that the big plays, Justin Herbert. I mean, I thought when I watched this game, I was like, okay, you know, noon start for the Chargers on the road, Cincinnati, and Herbert was just shooting the ball down the field. Mahomes just shooting the ball down the field. Jimmy could have if he wanted to or if he was, you know, capable, but obviously wasn't.
Number seven.
Their offensive line will not stop Jeffrey Simmons on the interior. Quentin Spain's on the interior. What happens a lot of the times is there's the initial rush. So Burrow will drop back in the pocket. If it's not there right away and the ball doesn't come out, he immediately moves because he knows his line's not going to be able to protect. I don't think against the defensive tackles that they played in the games I watched, and that includes, you know, Chris Jones at Kansas City, I don't think it was like Jeffrey Simmons. I just think with what's around Simmons and the way he's playing, I don't think they'll be able to stop him.
Number eight.
The Bengals will fumble the ball. They fumbled it a lot against San Francisco, especially on punt returns, which easily cost them the game. So they went out and signed Trent Taylor, who is their new punt returner. I don't know much about Trent Taylor, you know, other than the fact that it was so bad in the San Francisco game. But they will fumble the football, and if they do fumble the football, you've got to get on it and not commit a penalty that keeps you from getting on top of the football.
Number nine.
Samaje Perine, the backup running back. Samaje Perine is both a running threat and a passing threat. If you think it's third and seven and they bring Samaje Perine in the game, they may run a draw and he may get it. I think this, if they were in a salary cap dilemma and they had to pick one of their stars that had to go, for me, it'd be Mixon because the drop-off from Mixon to Perine's not that great.
Number 10.
Okay, this one shocked me. They're not a very good red zone team. They got down in the red zone against the Raiders the other night, didn't really do much. They're not a good red zone team. And I noticed it against San Francisco because they kept moving the ball, moving the ball, moving the ball, moving the ball, stopped. Field goal. moving the ball, moving the ball, moving the ball. Stop, field goal. They're not a very good red zone team. And I looked it up this morning. The Titans, and you all hate the Titans offensive coordinator, and everybody talks about the receivers and the coach and the quarterback and the offense, the Bengals. 17th in the red zone. The Titans are 5th. If you don't turn the football over, and that's the number one key to any playoff game, but if you don't turn the football over, red zone is number 2. Because the difference between 21-0 and, I don't know, 9-0, as we all know, is astronomical in a playoff game. I think there's something about the ability of these receivers to run and Joe to move around that makes them, you know, a threat from anywhere on the field. They're really not a great red zone team. So those were my 10 takeaways on the Bengals. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025 is the number. We'll get your reaction on that. Plus, I did talk to somebody who beat the Bengals this year, a friend of mine. What he said their keys to beating the Bengals were, it's not as complicated as you think. We'll get to the next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Caroline, tell us about Caesars Sportsbook.
All right, people, it is time for the Caroline Fenton Caesars Sportsbook Report. Wildcard Weekend is behind us. Next up, the divisional round of the playoffs, and of course, the Titans' debut in the playoffs as well. So before the games get underway, download Caesars Sportsbook. They will match your first bet with a free bet up to $1,001. Win or lose, just use promo code RADIORF. Just one word, that is promo code RADIORF, and they will match your first bet with a free bet up to $1,001. Now, there have been some heavy hitters in the betting market so far this week. There was a $220,000 bet on the 49ers. It was initially opened at +6. It's now down to +5.5. Now, I don't know who's bold enough to put that much money on the 49ers. I personally wouldn't do it. But if you feel good about San Francisco against Green Bay this weekend, then go ahead and put some money on it. Maybe not $220,000, but whatever you choose to do, and do it with the Caesars Sportsbook. Must be 21. Offer valid in Tennessee only. New users and first qualifying wager only. Paid in bet credit. Credit must be used within 7 days of receipt. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Caesars Sportsbook. Download it, people.
Stillman & Company, our pregame show begins at 1 o'clock tomorrow, live from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Join me, Mark Howard, Chris Sanders. Should be a good time had by all. So I told you I watched 3 Bengals games and saw kind of what they did and what they didn't, and I watched the highlights of their Broncos game. So I can't say like I watched the highlights of the Broncos game and count it, because when you don't watch the whole thing. But on the road, they definitely look different offensively than they did when they were at home. So I have a buddy who played on one of the teams that beat the Bengals this year. So I asked him, if you had to say the one reason you beat the Bengals, what would you say it was? And here's what he said. Stop the run and stop Chase from his big plays. He said, we pressured Joe Burrow and we took shots down the field in the passing game that led to touchdowns. Their secondary isn't their strength. So basically saying, hey, and I told you in the last segment, I think their corners, very average. I think their secondary is not very good. I think their defense as a whole, especially without Ogunjobi, I don't think it's a very great, is not a very good defense. Said stop the run, which they don't really want to do anymore. They want the ball in Joe's hands. Stop Chase from his big plays. They pressured Burrow, and their secondary isn't their strength. And sometimes I think in football, and I go back to that Troy Aikman clip we played yesterday, where Troy was talking about everybody wants to get into scheme and, you know, what's the scheme like and what's the... And Troy was telling you, just get the ball to the good players sometimes. I think if I'm the Titans, I look at it like, all right, what has to happen to keep Ja'Marr Chase from having a big touchdown? Because Kansas City, they threw a slant. He just cut it up the field, ran into the end zone for a touchdown. San Francisco, Joe Burrow ran around, bought time. He turned around a safety, breaks open in the end zone. All backyard football. That's not a schemed play. So what do the Titans do to keep that from happening? I think what they're going to do is they're going to put like Buster screen. They're going to put a veteran corner on him, screen or Jenkins, and then they're going to have a safety trail. And I know that we got on Keyshawn Johnson for this earlier today, but you know what I was thinking about when I was thinking about how to play the Bengals? And I was texting Chris Sanders about it. And one thing that they took advantage of in last year's game, the Titans and the Bengals, is they really went after Jonathan Joseph, especially with the size. And we all know Jonathan Joseph, old P-pop, couldn't play football anymore. But what they did was they used the size of T. Higgins against the small size of Jonathan Joseph. The Titans made two roster moves, adding Derrick Henry to the roster from injured reserve and elevating Chris Jones. I think everybody would rather talk about the Derrick Henry elevation, and I would too, but Chris Jones is a six-foot corner. And while we'd like to joke with Keyshawn about Dane Cruikshank, I do think with a bigger receiver in T. Higgins, you might see Cruikshank on the field, not man for man, but you might see him in the vicinity kind of playing a safety role so that they can keep one safety over the top at all times to keep Ja'Marr Chase from breaking open the football game. But those are the keys. They stopped the run. They didn't let Ja'Marr Chase have the big plays like he did in the Kansas City game and they won, like they did that got them back in the 49ers game. And they pressured Joe Burrow, and that they honestly took shots down the field and did not think that they could throw the ball or that that their secondary could stop the team that they played.
I do find it interesting that the person that you texted mentioned Ja'Marr Chase, stopping Ja'Marr Chase and limiting Ja'Marr Chase's plays before he even mentioned pressuring the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, what it sounds to me like is that this was the message from the coach, which was, hey, we stopped the run and we stopped number one from his big plays, and that's our goal.
And then also, oh yeah, like put some pressure on the quarterback. See, I think in my opinion, and obviously I've not beaten the Bengals in pads this year. However, in with the Titans, I think that's number one.
Get pressure on Burrow.
Get pressure on Burrow against this offensive line versus this defensive
I don't want to give away this team, but I think this team can get to the quarterback with four. So when you get to the quarterback with four, like I was thinking about this before I watched the Bengals. I was thinking about this, which was the pressure, right?
Right.
You know, well, what do you do when they run the ball? Because you got to stop the run too. You want to go after the quarterback, stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that when the Titans had really good defensive lines, the Jim Washburn era of Javon Kearse and Albert Haynesworth and Kevin Carter, and Floyd told me, we never try to stop the run. We just stop the run on the way to go hitting the quarterback. So if the quarterback gave the ball to the runner, we just hit him instead. I think the Titans can do this. And the team that beat the Bengals, I think, has four guys. I know they definitely got one, but that they've got four guys that can really get after it. So it was probably like they got pressure on Burrow. Because, again, he said, hey, what was the reason why? Stop the run, stop the big plays. Then said, and we got pressure on Burrow, too, and we hit some deep shots, and their secondary's not very good. That was kind of that take there.
And I do wonder, too, how much are the Titans going to be able to take advantage of their poor secondary? How much is it going to be Titans run versus Ryan Tannehill going down a deep shot to A.J. Brown?
I got to tell you, I think the Titans are going to take some shots.
I think they will.
Think Titans are going to take some shots. That's why I put in the grid today, and then we ended up getting Keyshawn Johnson and having him say all his bull crap. But I put in the grid today. I think that Julio Jones and Westbrook Akina could have a big day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they will because I don't trust either guy.
And I think A.J. will be covered up.
I don't think that matters.
Why?
Because I don't think they're very good. I think Awuzie is the best one. But when you watch Kansas City play him, Tyreek Hill got open. When you watch San Francisco play him,
of course Tyreek Hill got open.
Deebo Samuel got open. When you watch the Chargers play him, I mean, he's throwing the ball. Herbert, he's throwing it like a rocket launcher down the field to Mike Williams. First drive of the game. It should be noted, as much as we rip on Brandon Staley, the Chargers coach, mm-hmm. they went for it on fourth and goal at the 3-yard line on the first drive. Touchdown.
So does that justify all the poor going for it on fourth down decisions?
Who did Brandon Staley play in the playoffs this year?
No one.
Oh, okay.
So no.
No, it doesn't. 615-737-1025. The Titans, we always like to talk about playing with house money in the playoffs. Everybody's like, this team has house money. Are the Titans playing with house money, or is there something at stake in tomorrow's game. We'll discuss that next. Fireball Hot Take Friday. I love Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. No better way to enjoy the playoffs than with ice-cold Fireball Whiskey. It goes down so smooth, and it tastes so great. There's no better way to ignite the night than to do it with Fireball Whiskey. I'm just telling you all right now, just being honest, that if the Titans win tomorrow, well, I shouldn't say them. If the football team wins tomorrow, I'm going to be enjoying ice cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. It goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. Ignite the night. Please do responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy. And I will be doing it responsibly. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.